Welcome to another open mic with me, Mike Creed. This week on the podcast, Scott Swazanski, Swizza, as he's also known within the pack. Not a lot of you guys know about Swizz. He's not the most well-known rider. How about that? I don't think he has a Twitter account. He doesn't really put a lot out there, and he's good, but he's not that good. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's only won one or two races before. So, but beyond his severe lacking as a bike racer, makes up for it by being a very awesome guy. Interesting guy, has an interesting story how he got in, had a crash that changed his life, and I don't know. I think he's a pretty interesting guy to talk to, so glad he sat down with me. I got a bit of news, guys. This week on the podcast, we have another sponsor, Laser Helmets. So Laser is going to be giving stuff away. Now, how are you going to get your hands on some of this stuff, right? What I want you to do is right now, as you're listening, you tweet to @LaserHelmets with the hashtag potential ad campaigns, and you can enter as many times as you want, as many ad campaigns as you can bomb their account with. So let's say this podcast comes on Friday. We'll select the winner on either a Monday or Tuesday. We'll let you know. Pay attention to Leslie's Twitter account @CycleTard, @Cyclismus. Follow all those, and we'll let you know who the winner is. But you can enter as many times as you want. And we're going to get you some helmets. Nice helmets, too. Not like the bottom line. Like, we're not getting you the $40 helmet, all right? We're going to get you, like, fucking race helmets. You guys are going to look sharp. It's going to be amazing. And then later we'll get some glasses and stuff like that. So, anyway, beyond that, I have been getting ready for Redlands. That's going to be an adventure. First NRC stage race with the team. Excited, nervous. I mean, I feel like I have a pretty good team for it. You just don't know. I mean, even by the time you guys listen to this, we're not gonna know yet. But I mean, the UCI rankings came out. We're fourth overall in the Americas Tour. I mean, that's pretty sweet. I think that's a pretty good dynamic. I have a weird amount of energy with this job. You know, you don't have that physical exertion anymore. You have this mental exertion. I never really understood social drinking before. Like, for me, 2 to 3 drinks was the most impossible number of drinks to have. The only reason you have 2 to 3 drinks is because you're on the way to 10. And now, here you are. Like, now that's all I do, have 2 or 3 drinks. Because you need that, like, energy release. That, and I've been running like a madman. Yeah, I'm tired, but I'm not tired. Just lots of unanswerable questions is what you have to get yourself through. How am I going to get all these guys from this point to that point? Are they going to be okay? And, like, the only way to figure it out is just by doing it. Like, you just buy the first plane ticket. You just do it, right? Like, I don't know. Normally everything was semi in control. Now you feel, I guess you're still in control, but you just, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I guess I have a semblance of a real job now, and I never had that before. This is stuff that all you people probably know about, and I'm just freaking the fuck out about. So just enjoy somebody who's managed to not get a paycheck from any real world scenarios freaking the fuck out that now he's there. I don't know, guys. Hey, I really hope you enjoy the podcast, and I'll talk to you all soon.
47 years old. how I stayed alive this long, all these years. Fear. The spectacle of fearsome acts. Somebody steals from me, I cut off his hands. He offends me, I cut out his tongue. He rises against me, I cut off his head, stick it on a pike. Raise it high up so all in the streets can see. That's what preserves the order of things.
Just feel like a scumbag walking into all
the
You just feel like a scumbag walking into a pharmacy at a bike race.
Yeah, Kendra and I went over to that convenience store and bought. There was only 6-7 PBLites left, and we bought all 7. Because Bjorn is
Cheers.
Bjorn's a hurting boy.
He has the shits.
Yeah, but he's been in fetal position for bed since the stage is over.
Really? Today's... Alright, that's fair enough in between us, I think. Today's stage was fucked.
Why? I'm just...
Like, dude, I was in the car...
That's what I expected.
But, like, here's the thing, right? Like, you're on the bike. I'm gonna show you how much of a psychopath I am right now.
Well,
because, like, you... If you're truly a psychopath, you can make yourself the victim in any situation.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, fuck it. Well, at least these guys get to, like, exercise this fear. Like, I'm stuck in this car watching this crazy, and all I have is just pure adrenaline, and I'm just stuck in this fucking box.
You can't let it do anything with you.
You're just sitting there, like, and... All you can do is, like, when you have a minute of calm, all you do is go, oh, fuck.
Maybe you could have, like, hit the speed bumps harder or something. Get some of that adrenaline out.
I'm about, like, trying to, like, fucking motor pace guys back on, and then they're on your bumper, and there's a speed bump, and you're just like, dude, I don't know what to do here.
I was on the corner for that reason every time You were helping me
with
the group at one point.
Well, it crashed after that. There was this crash, and then it was a split.
Yes. I made it back from that split, but then immediately Carter flattened.
Right.
So I gave him my wheel.
Oh, is that what that was?
And he took off.
Oh, shit. And you came back from that one?
And then...
Is that when I saw you?
It was after this, when you were helping.
Yeah.
So then Wahlberg comes ripping up, and my bike's, like, laying half off the road on this, like, curb. And he has his right two tires in his shoulder, but it's like loose stones. And he starts skidding. And I just pushed Carter, so I'm still coming back to my bike. And I'm just like...
Did he see your bike? Or was he looking at you too much?
No, the bike's... You can't not see it.
Okay.
He just didn't know how long it was going to take him to stop. He is skidding, and I stopped walking. I was like... Because I didn't want to get too close and get hit myself. I'm like, my bike's...
Toast.
My bike's going to get crushed here. My bike's... I'm going to get on another bike. And he stopped like a few feet short, but he was skidding the whole way up to it. I was like... Oh. Yeah. And then after that, that was a long chase, but we had like a yellow jersey guy in there and stuff.
Not that ended up mattering.
Didn't really help. I mean, it was mostly me and a couple other guys. One of your guys was helping.
Was it Cogburn? The skinny guy?
I'm still learning.
Gangly looking guy?
It's only my second race here. I'm still learning the new faces.
Right. The yellow jersey team didn't chase nothing.
I know. They only used 2 guys. And they didn't really do anything.
The fuck?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But.
South American weirdness. I guess we're not even in South America, but.
Did all your guys make it through unscathed? Like, physically?
Yeah. We had one guy.
Just count that as a win. That's what I'm working on.
100%. 100%. Fucking Logan Loaders in the hospital with a broken scapula.
And collarbone.
And collarbone. What a combination. I hope it, at least the all on the same side. Could you imagine if he was fucking catty corner with that?
Yeah, that would work so well.
That would be horrible. Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
So be honest, how much do you miss me? Come on.
Well, you're here.
Really? But like in the team.
You come up every now and then.
No. Like in a missing way, or like, remember when that fucker Creed?
More like, hey guys, get me your license applications. Creed's not here this year to be last, so don't be last.
Dude, that's bullshit. I've never been last. There's always somebody. I was close.
There's
to
always
last.
Digs taking at you like that. Whether right. or not. Whether, right, right, whether right. true or not.
Right. It's fair enough. You leave. First one to leave, like, becomes a punch. The last one to leave is, like, the butt of the jokes.
And everyone's making up for missing you here. I hear stories.
There's been some practical jokes. Well, those guys, like, tried to, like, ruin my team meeting last night.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Well, like, they, to be fair, they didn't know it was a team meeting.
Okay, so at this point, we had to stop the podcast. Had some chores to do around the race, so we restarted here.
Part two.
Oh, look at that. You can see.
Yeah, you see when you talk. But
Nacho Libre!
See, it's not. It doesn't really spike up that much, even though I got the input at
100%. That's because I wasn't yelling that much.
Yeah, but like I've had other mics that were like far more sensitive. It's funny though, because like. Yeah, I don't think it really fucking matters. It's not like the audio quality's ever been bragged about.
It's the only thing I ever complained about.
What did you send me a text? You're like, oh,
I don't know.
You got to an interesting point, and then like you started going downhill. Oh no, were you the one who sent me the text like, hey, next time you're gonna play Alice's Restaurant, why don't you warn somebody?
I was so frustrated with that because it was like a month after Thanksgiving,
sure,
or something, and I'm going out like bundled up, you know, big yeah. gloves and all.
It's winter time. And you don't have time.
And I had like your one of your podcasts queued up. I don't yeah. remember who it was. And I started it, yeah. and it was like, oh, he must have done this at Thanksgiving. He's playing Alice's Restaurant, and then it just kept going. I'm like, that son of a bitch is gonna play the whole thing.
I played the whole
thing. I don't want to listen to the whole thing, but I didn't want to stop and take off my gloves and go in my pocket and change it. So I just suffered. Through the whole thing again.
Was like, I think I say in the beginning that I was going to play Alice's Restaurant.
No, you don't say anything. You just go, oh, you do an intro. But
yeah, I think you just tuned it out. You just were tuning me out. And then.
If you did, I didn't listen.
I feel like I gave a heads up.
But I was just like, oh, 30 minutes of this?
This ain't too bad. That's why it's always best if you get into one of those situations where they make. Like, there's a group, like, karaoke. They're like, oh, we gotta do karaoke. Everybody, karaoke. Oh. Like, that's your go-to. You're like, no, I don't want to go. And they make you. They really twist your... You're like, fine. And you queue up Alice's Restaurant. And you stand there for 18 minutes. And you never really have to sing. It's probably only 1 minute of singing.
Yeah.
And the rest, you're just telling the story. See how long they let you go before they go, fine, get the fuck.
That's a good idea. I'd like to see that.
I'm full of good ideas, Scott.
Come on.
I'm fucking a genius. This is part two. I don't know if we'll use part one. Maybe some of it. Just because it'll seem weird to try to seamlessly edit.
I remember what I think I was talking about.
What was it?
How I started. Or how I found out where to do a beginner race.
Oh, that's right. I was asking you about how your parents thought about that.
Yeah. At first, I don't think they thought very much of it. They were just kind of like, bike racing.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, was swimming it? Paid for a lot of college.
Yeah.
And then I got done.
Through like a scholarship?
Yeah, well, I went as like an invited walk-on and then ended up earning my second 2 years and then my third year as a fifth year student was pretty much all paid for.
Like,
my
wow.
Well, probably half paid for and then, but like full tuition and I had to pay like for more and stuff. Or, yeah.
What did you do? For a living. What were you studying in school?
Civil engineering.
What is that?
It's infrastructure.
Infrastructure. So, like, you look at the city, like, we're in Mexico City right now. So you look at Mexico City and you think of how things could be better?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of work for civil engineers here, but not a lot of work being done. It works.
It somehow works.
Yeah.
I was really disappointed the day that, like 2 days ago when you guys had to take the bus 160K back into town.
Yeah.
So I was rallying the car. I was like, oh, I'm going to be here like 2 hours ahead of the bus. You guys are only like maybe 40 minutes behind.
Yeah, this bus driver is the...
Apparently, they're badass.
They got some balls.
Dude, we were doing shit to each other. Did Gus tell you he got pulled over?
I heard that. I didn't hear it directly, but I heard him talking about to somebody.
He got pulled over. So, like, it was Optum, Jameis, and I.
Yeah.
And we were going for it. Like, yeah. And we were chopping each other. And, I mean, like, the Jameis mechanic chopped me at maybe 110 miles an hour on the highway. Like, so insanely perfectly
that doesn't all the Chevys can go 110
downhill. They like so insanely perfectly. All I could do was die laughing. Like I thought it was the funniest thing. So anyway, I take a run at him because the way you attack when you're racing caravan in the city is you wait for the leader to like not really be paying attention to oncoming traffic, so then you can go. You take a run and you go like far right lane, middle lane, left, and then you get around.
Okay.
So I do that to Gus.
Yeah.
I take a run from the back. Boom. I do like this little juke. By the time he clears what I got around, he starts to accelerate to catch up right as a cop was there.
I can't believe a cop actually pulled someone over.
I was impressed too. But I thought he was coming for me.
Oh, yeah.
I was shit myself.
Because my ride from the airport to here at 1 in the morning, we stopped. The only red light we stopped at, we just stopped at momentarily next to a cop and then went. Like, the red lights were optional. And there was cops everywhere. It was crazy.
You got in at 1 a.m.?
Yeah, something like that.
On purpose or was it?
No.
Was it delay?
I've had like a 22-hour travel.
Sweet.
That's what I get for living in winter.
So you did the costing. When did you turn pro? Like Ofoto? Was that Ofoto?
Yeah, Ofoto.
Was that 03?
04. I quit my job in 03. Did another full season with Snow Valley. Brian Walton ran Snow Valley.
I remember Snow Valley, yeah.
And I quit for the 2003 season. It was my second year with Snow Valley. And that seriously, not having to cram work at work before you go away for a week of Tour de Tuna or Fitchburg or something when they're just piling work on you, like that less stress I think really helped my performance.
Who was on Snow Valley with you?
Oh, I think we had a pretty good team that year. No one's really left, but
oh.
We had Mike Voigt. He won.
I remember that name.
He won Amateur Nationals that year. Ian Dilley, Russ Langley, John Wersing. We had a really solid team.
Was Ofoto your first year with Saunders?
Yeah. Yeah, that was my first and only year with Saunders. A memorable one.
It's the most intense, like, probably regrettable experience.
Nah, I like Saunders a lot.
Stewart, too, right?
Jackson.
Saul Reason.
He was not on the team anymore.
He was not on the team anymore? No.
He was on it in 03, I guess. I think that might have been when he went to Europe.
Okay.
For Credit Agricole.
Yeah.
Or maybe he went somewhere else in between. I don't know. He was not. He was Europe. He was doing Euro, whether it was national team or or something. But he wasn't on the team anymore. The Baj. Yeah.
What was the Baj like back then? Same.
Pretty much the same as he is
really?
Now. Yeah, man. He's a great bike racer.
I was hoping he was like a kinder, more gentler Baj. Same.
His Baj has always been the same.
You know what's funny with the. I did the podcast with Bosch, and it was fun. It's so funny because, like, as his teammate for a couple of years, like, you never hear him talk about himself. He's not really that. But then when I brought up the idea of a podcast to him, like, he just immediately started telling stories. It was incredible.
That was cool. I liked listening to that one.
Yeah, just.
I mean, I stayed with him that year.
Where?
In Boulder. No, just for, like. I was like,
oh, you said
on a photo, like they just sent us around in the van, like me and Pete LaPinto drove that van I think, back and forth across the U.S. I don't know.
Wow.
But I spent, like, a week or two in Boulder at one point, and stayed with Bosch in his apartment. But I never saw him the whole time. He just stayed with his current wife now.
Oh, okay. So he was... I thought he was doing, like, the Bosch thing where, like, he'd get training by the time you
No, they just lived in separate places, and he was just always there, and I just stayed at his place.
Would you even train with him?
No.
Yeah.
didn't see him, like, the whole time I was there. And he was Bosch. He's a little bit intimidating sometimes, you know?
A little bit.
You know?
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay. But he was super nice and all.
Yeah.
Well, I've always loved Bosch. Learned a lot from him.
Did you like
a great bug racer, man? One of the guys that didn't get his due.
Didn't get his due,
one
man.
One of the many.
Did not get his due. They finally did like a Villeneuve's recycling. They finally did an article about it.
Oh yeah.
That's good.
One.
I feel like I'm gonna take credit for this podcast, making people aware of the Bosch
sitch. Yeah, sure.
I don't know if that's true, but I feel like I already am crazy enough, I might as well just publicly take credit instead of privately take credit.
That's valid for you.
Yeah.
If you're fine.
So you were like, your first year on Ofoto, like, or Snow Valley, like, you're coming up, like, what, this is a ridiculous question, but like, what results do you think, like, okay, I could do this, I'll fucking do this?
Well, before Snow Valley, I got to do Tour de Tuna in Fitchburg. You know, they're kind of local to the Northeast. I did Tour de Tuna, I think, when it was like full on, you know, like Prime Alliance. Well, I don't know if Prime Alliance was even in existence yet, but like Saturn, all the US pro teams did it.
Sure.
Big prize money. And like, I did pretty well. Like, I was riding, I think it was a Pennsylvania team, like All Sport or something. Some kind of PA composite team. I think, if I remember, I got like 48th in GC.
Yeah.
And I think I might have still been a cat too.
You weren't embarrassing yourself.
No. And yeah. I think if you looked at a list above my name, there might have been a couple amateurs, but there might not have been any guys on amateur teams.
Everybody's on pay.
Oh, yeah. On pro team licenses or whatever. So that was pretty, like, damn.
Yeah.
I remember, like, suffering, like, this was before I didn't know that I wasn't a climber yet. So I was like going up climbs, like hanging with these groups that were like,
yeah.
I remember being in a group that had like, I think Warner might've been in it, you know, like on the Blue Knob day. I'm like, what? Holy crap. What the fuck's happening? You know, it's not the lead group, but I'm in just climbing my brains out. You didn't learn that I wasn't a climber yet. Way heavier than too. Wow. Different body type. Still
did you even like know how to go about getting a pro contract?
I did, and I tried. From
Brian Walton?
No, before Walton. I rode for Bicycle Therapy, great shop in Philly. And those guys knew Ed Beeman.
Because
it's a Jersey connection, sure. You know, East Coast. And I think every year since I turned to Cat 1, which was 2001.
Yeah.
So 2001, 2002, 2003, I would send Ed Beeman my resume. And I would introduce myself to him at Tour de Tuna. I'm just trying to get on.
And he never signed with Beeman.
No.
Fuck.
I mean, that was because those guys knew him, so it was like some type of, maybe somebody gave me an email or a phone number or something. I don't remember.
Right.
You know, and I don't remember Zach, like, well, we had guys, like Bill Ellison was on our team, and he rode for him before, and some of the other guys just knew him from just being East Coast guys. So, yeah, I tried. I knew you had to just get him to get a team to sign you.
Yeah. You know? So how did you get hooked up with Ofoto?
I just got noticed. Actually, they wanted Mike Voigt, my teammate, and he told me that they're interested in you. I'm like, oh, really? Like,
what? Yeah.
It's like, I better get on that.
Was it a salary? Or was it?
You couldn't call it a salary.
It's like 5,000.
It's like $3,000.
Yeah.
For the whole year.
I like when the team gives you, like, they go, okay, we're going to pay you $5,000, and then they have the balls to do it over 12 months.
Yeah, I think it was spread out.
It's just like, how about this? I'm just going to give you $5,000.
Yeah, that would have been better. But they supposedly noticed me at the New York City crit, the Manhattan one.
Yeah.
I won the amateur one.
Oh, did you?
One of my mean, even now is one of my proudest wins because it was 120 guys, four-man teams.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, that many. And a lot of New York City teams had 2 4-man teams in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I won it solo. Nice. It's pretty sweet. And here's how we did it. Snow Valley was doing Tour de Tuna. And a group of us were going to do New York City Crit. It's probably illegal to do this. I don't know. But we dropped out of Blue Knob.
Yes.
At the base of Blue Knob. Like, we raced until the base because our teammate Chris Hedges was going for the Team Rangers. So we helped him. Literally pulled out the feeds under the bottom. Got in the car, drove to New York. I think it was three of us.
Wow.
And we drove into Manhattan, stayed in a hotel overnight, and raced the next morning. Straight from 5 days of Tour. 5 or 6 days
of Tour. It's definitely not UCI legal.
It's not UCI legal, but yeah, that's what we did. And that supposedly John Durso ran a photo, and he noticed me there.
Yeah.
And I was doing okay, but I was...
Well, photos seemed like a fun team, though. Saunders, Erdley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Erdley was on it.
Jackson Stewart.
Yeah, a lot of smart asses on that team.
Fuck.
Yeah.
How was it, like, the perfect... It seemed like we... Like, much similar, like, how Prime Alliance, like, you almost get spoiled by with how relaxed and privileged, even though you're not getting paid.
Yeah. It's a little rough with the logistics sometimes.
Who was in charge of that?
Well, just being low man and totem pole. Yeah. Sure. I did a lot of van driving and couch surfing.
Hey, dude, you want to do Cascade? Great! Here's the van keys.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was good. I had a big break, and that was my year that I smashed my face, too.
Yeah, man.
So I had a big break in the middle, and luckily...
Was that Trenton?
Yeah, I did good enough before and good enough after that I was still wanted.
I know you're, like, kind of uncomfortable with the Trenton thing, but tell me about it.
Yeah, basically, got on the last lap, I was, like, in a break all day and had sprint points and had sprint competition. I remember thinking that I had a good chunk of points.
Yeah.
I should try to get some points in the end, maybe I can get some money from it or something.
Yeah.
And I think it was either Leishman or Sayers was in the break with me also getting points. So not that they had anything to do with it, but I'm just...
No, yeah.
I just remember, like...
You're eyeballing them.
Yeah, like, I should try to score some points in this field sprint. And the last lap, I don't remember anything from...
You just woke up in an ambulance?
Or in the hospital? I woke up, like, the next day in the hospital. It was my first memory. I woke up in an ambulance from being dead on the ground.
But you don't remember that. When you say dead on the ground, you mean...
Not breathing, blood filling my mouth. They intubated me. If that's a small race, I'm not talking to you. Dr. Ross is still the race doctor for Philly Week. Dr.
Yeah.
Michael Ross.
Intubated, what is that?
They put a tube down your throat so you breathe.
Fuck.
So... And supposedly, I didn't come to talk. Well, so what happened was, for some reason, I going underneath the railroad bridge where you go in and out of the park.
I remember that, this bridge.
For some reason, I veered off and hit the mill. Whether it was getting pushed or losing control, don't know. And lots of guys said heard it. Lots of guys said saw it. Some guys stopped racing. But, yeah. So Dr. Ross was in the caravan and saved my life that day.
Get to you, but, like, what about your family? Did your family say, like,
they were there.
They were there.
Announced at the finish line, there's been a crash. I think they said it, like, Scott Zanski was in a crash. So I put them through hell. This is the part that's hard to talk about.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it briefly.
Yeah, we can get over it real quick.
But, yeah, I know they were at the hospital calling my brother at home saying they won't tell us anything. They weren't telling him anything.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't know if I was alive or dead or anything until, like, that, like, late that night, like 11 o'clock at night or something.
What was it, like, when you came to in the hospital?
I came to in the ambulance,
well,
I guess, and put up a huge fight. I don't know. Supposedly.
It happens a lot when people fucking pass out or hit their head.
First memory was... It was on a Thursday... I think it was Friday afternoon. Friday, I have like 2 or 3 memories.
So,
Saturday is pretty blurry all day, like pretty much memory all day. I remember seeing my uncle. My first memory was seeing my uncle. Like, I realized I'm in the hospital room. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, because I'm pretty sure he wasn't at the race. But he lives in Jersey. He lives in Jersey.
Yeah. Did you have to, like, was there a therapy component to that?
Not as much as there probably should have been. I mean, I absolutely had a concussion. I remember having CAT scans on my head, looking at them. I had surgery 2 weeks after it to pull the bones underneath my eye out because they were smushed into my sinus.
So your, like, optic nerve bones or whatever that is?
Orbital.
Your orbital bones?
So I had a compound fracture above my eye.
Compound?
That was done surgery right away. And then below, there was five total fractures, I guess, breaks. And the top was, like, compound, broken open. Like, they told me in the hospital my eyebrow wasn't going to grow back. Like, my eyebrow hair.
Yeah.
So that probably won't come back.
So you're going to look really cool. I'm like,
whatever. But it came back. And, yeah, so then 2 weeks after I had a surgery to fix that. And that did wonders. It was, like, constant headache for 2 weeks until that happened. And then returning home from that surgery, Philly was on TV like at 2 a.m. on, you know, Comcast SportsNet or some local sports station was being replayed.
Right.
And I also was like, and my whole dream was to do Philly, and you had to be on a pro team to do it.
Right. So this was your first Philly week.
Yeah. Trenton's the last race before Philly. And I didn't get to do Philly, so I remember that was when the first instant that I realized we're gonna ride again.
Oh.
Or did I think that even thought about it? Because I was like, up in the middle of the night, had to sleep sitting up for like 3 days because of the surgery and stuff. Watching TV, and I was just like, crap, I didn't get to do Philly. That's when I like knew I wanted to do it still.
Yeah.
And
did you have a hard time? Like, you probably didn't race for the rest of the year, did you?
I raced like 2 months later.
Really?
Yeah. I started riding indoors like a month later, maybe, if I remember right. And then first, I did a local race. I think I won it.
Yeah.
Really hard crit that I'm really proud of being the Christiana crit.
I like that you're super pumped about one of these
pro-am crits. It's cool, but I mean, that crit was around forever. One year I got schooled by, I was going to say Graham Miller, but it wasn't Graham Miller, but he used to race locally.
Yeah.
Eddie
Gragas? Tell me, is Eddie Gragas?
It was either Gragas or the guy who just came back recently.
Gerlach.
It was either Gerlach or I think it was Gerlach. You know, so like,
there'd
be good guys there some years.
It's
like half hour from my house, you know, Lancaster County. Really hard crit of attrition.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I'm proud of winning races like that.
When you're,
but
I mean, maybe winning the crit was like good for your parents, but it's not like all coming back.
Oh, I don't know if
anything was good for them.
I'm so happy they supported me all these years. You ask if they were supportive. At first, I don't think they really were, but then I think once they realized I was pretty good.
Yeah.
I was living at home and they were stopped charging me rent. And like let me try to go for it.
Yeah.
They've always been supportive. But
after your crash they must have been.
Yeah, I don't know what they thought, but I think they knew that it wasn't worth trying to tell me to do anything.
You were going to do it.
So I did Christiana crit locally, and then I did New York City crit. The photo wanted to use me for publicity. This is the amateur champion last year.
Yeah.
And it was rainy and wet. I was so scared.
Oh, man.
So scared. And I know I don't think I finished, but I got called up.
Right.
Straight to the back of the pack as the race started, I think. So I went really late into that season. I did like Tour Taiwan late. You know, did like races in October, like the races in South Carolina. Jonas's last couple races he did.
Oh, yeah.
I did races in West Palm Beach, I think, that year. So I did all like really late stuff.
Yeah. They used to have late races. They don't have them anymore.
No. You know. They were good money, too.
I think about putting on a race like in Colorado in late September, and you'd be just a really cool road race, and nobody, like, you would fight nobody for it.
Yeah. There'd be no competition. Get the
races. Why did they stop so far?
I think it's just,
why do we have to race in February and make this shit weather?
It's just, I mean, it's just the economy across the board with anything. It's just not as good anymore. I don't know.
Well, I guess we're not very good at it. We're not economists.
No.
You're not. I think it's Obama. I saw Jesse posted something about Obama the other day on Facebook. Yeah, he's champ. He's complaining. He said that everybody who voted for Obama made Jesse pay for more. I'm mad at you because you made me pay more for healthcare.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to get into it.
Hey, we don't have to, but let's just say when the man's right, he's right.
I like your theme music when it correlates with someone that you
interview. Yeah.
Like with Jesse. I don't even remember what it was. I know it correlated.
Sometimes I'll find something like...
Do a lot of people listen to this podcast? Like, can I give a message to the world?
Yeah, go for it. I don't know. I don't definitely know reason the world, but...
All you politicians out there, just do what makes sense instead of what goes against the other side. Just
no, dude. Politics is a... I think humanity should be a football game and you just want your side to win.
So stupid.
I like it too, like, not that we'll bore people with our semantic fucking politics talk, but I always like it too when you tell somebody, like, who you're going to vote for. Like, if you vote for a third party and they go, like, why? They're not going to win. And you're like, yeah, it's not a sports game. It's not soccer. It's not, you're supposed to vote for who you think is best, not for who you think is going to win.
That's a good point.
Everybody just drives me nuts. And then they get mad at you for throwing away your vote. Like, you're just, it's fucking American Idol for you, dude.
Oh, man. That's true.
I mean, I can, whatever. Just do it like how Canada does it, where they have like eight people to choose from and... There's something like a $20,000 spending cap on some... I could be repeating complete nonsense, but they do some weird shit like that.
Sounds good to me, eh?
Eh? I'll get a tweet from a Canadian saying, oh, you're fucking wrong.
We got Will upstairs downstairs in Alaska.
Yeah,
he's very smart.
So what was your, like, trajectory after... So you did Ofoto, then what teams...
Kodak Sierra Nevada for 2 years. Priority Health and Bissell.
Oh, right, right. Forgot about that.
Bissell dropped me right when I was getting good at this sport.
Why did they drop you?
I think because we were going over the age and money. They dropped me.
Did they have age limit then?
Yeah.
I forgot when that came in.
It was in when I started.
Okay.
Not all of us started as young as you.
It's true.
So, yeah, Bissell dropped me they dropped me, Richard England, and Garrett Pelton all at once, and we were like, what the hell? We felt like we were a pretty big part of that team, but...
Who's running the team then?
Well, I guess Mitchell. No, I don't even know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Glenn. But Glenn wasn't as big of a part of it as he was now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into that. But then I had a hard time getting a contract. August through November, all I did was try to get a contract. I didn't want to be done. I called Jonas every 2 weeks, I think.
Did you?
And every 2 weeks, he'd go, call me, give me 2 more weeks.
2 more weeks, man.
And then I think...
I'm going to decipher for everybody now that I'm a team manager what 2 more weeks mean.
What?
2 more weeks means there's this guy that I really want besides you. And if he says no to me, I'm going to say yes.
Well, that's what he was telling me and Neil Shirley that whole fall.
If you get an email saying 2 more weeks, it means I have to see what this guy is going to say.
And even though it means that, I got to keep bugging you.
Yeah.
But I think me and Neil both got signed like mid-November, like last moment possible.
Yeah.
And that ended up being great for me.
It was a cool team, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was my best season.
You won both that year?
Won both. Went to Uruguay. What the Neil fuck? Shirley is one of the biggest reasons I won both. The whole team is the reason. But Neil's.
Yeah.
Both guys I beat second and third place are pro tour climbers now.
Was it Uran?
It was Aino. He was on Columbia Deportes last year, the Pro Comedy one. I think he might be on a different, better team this year. I can't think of who. But yeah, no, that was a good year.
Must have been massive, man. It went fucking close.
I don't think I realized how massive it was. I mean, you look at the list of guys who won that race. It's pretty stellar list.
It's funny when you see that, you kind of feel like it's a blip in the, it's like a glitch in the system. Yeah,
I'm like, the glitch. I'm like, clean guy, non high paid guy.
You're like, wait a minute, fuck.
But no, it was cool. It was great. I had a good year. Another reason I got good, was I started treating my sleep apnea, and that helped. It's been, well, not only team atmospheres that I've been in, but that's also.
Sure, but I forgot about the apnea thing.
That's been a huge.
You still travel with a mask?
Yeah.
Your Darth Vader mask?
Yeah.
Is it?
I have a mouthpiece too, but I'd sleep better with the mask, unfortunately.
Oh, man. So, like, when you. Before, like, would your roommates, like, say, like, oh, man, I can't sleep with Swizz? It's fucking crazy.
No one ever really said I snore. I think I was just a loud, really loud breather.
Who?
I personally knew I didn't sleep well. Like, that's what started.
Did you know that you had it? Like, when did you find out?
I didn't know I had it, but I knew I didn't. Never slept well.
Yeah.
And I brought it up to a sports doctor I was seeing back in Philly.
Yeah.
And we talked about it for, like, 40 minutes. And he's like, should we get a sleep study? My dad has it. My dad's had the machine, so, I mean, it's...
But, like, how do they...
make sense.
The sleep study, they just, like, put all these trodes on you and then, like, make you go, like, lay down in a strange bed? Who could sleep in that?
It's just like a hotel room, man. Yeah, some people have a really hard time with it. For me, it was like I was at another race in a hotel room.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just had 50 wires hooked up to me.
Where are the wires connected to?
Everywhere. They put this, like, goo on your scalp, so they connect to your scalp. You got, like...
Holy shit.
You got them on your legs to see if you got, like, restless legs.
Does health insurance pay for this?
Yeah, yeah.
Not anymore with Obama, but...
Yeah, and they even have, like, sensor, like, in front of your mouth. It's gauging how much air is going in and out.
Fuck. And, like, and you can go
and then they have a camera on you. Like a
yeah.
infrared camera, I think.
And, see how much you toss
and there's a technician who's just watching all night. Sleeping. And they got all the data on their computer. And if you got a piss, you got to knock on the headboard. And, like, then they come in and unhook you.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So you do that. And they just, if you have a problem, then you gotta go back and you do the second one. The second one, they give you a CPAP machine.
And what did.
Worst night of sleep in my life.
Worst night?
Yeah, because you never slept with a sleep apnea machine, and all of a sudden they put this mask on you, tell you you can't breathe out of your mouth, you gotta breathe out of your nose all night.
Well, like, I didn't know it did that.
And it's pressurized air.
Okay, so what does it do?
I think
this mask.
Don't quote me on this, sure. But I think CPAP stands for continuous pumped air pressure. That's what I think it should stand for. all the machine does is pressure. It's air pressure.
Yeah.
You have to breathe out against it. And the air pressure going in, when you have obstructive sleep apnea, usually your throat just relaxes and constricts on itself when you're in deep sleep. So it restricts your airway. So that pressure keeps your throat open. It doesn't restrict your airway. So when you have the test, mine's only mild to medium. It's not severe.
Yes.
Yeah. Some people died from it.
Yeah, like, they just stopped breathing.
Yeah, like, and it's usually obese people.
I had a roommate, like, I was under 23 who would have it, and, like, him, it would scare the shit out of me because I would be 1 o'clock in the morning, and I guess just through repetition, I'd hear him stop breathing.
Yeah.
And then 10 seconds later, he would gasp awake.
Yeah, yeah. So some people would do stop and on. So they figure out, like, my oxygen saturation would drop to, like, 90 or 91%.
Fuck, that's pretty low, man.
And my body would wake up at a rate of 11 times per hour or something. Like, you're not physically waking up, but, like...
You're not in REM.
Not going into REM sleep.
Yeah.
And for me, like, yeah, I mean...
Now, oxygen saturation is pretty low. Like, what is it when you go in, like... That's
it's like being in altitude.
Isn't, like, when you're going full gas in a VO2, what do you think your oxygen saturation is? About that, right? You don't know?
I don't know.
I
mean, sure, I should know.
I remember when I trained with that, like, Spyro Tiger type thing or whatever, like, the lowest I can get mine would be, like, 87, and I was, like, breathing through a straw or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, 90s. The one, Dr. Ross, the same guy I saved my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been kind of in contact with him over the years.
Yeah.
I have issues. bourbon things and stuff. Go to him, he helps me. But he was like, I wonder if your sleep apnea is actually helping you because maybe it's like altitude training. And he was wondering that.
That's a reach.
But it was a reach, but he was just curious.
Sure, sure.
But right away, when I started using it, I went and did a Sun Tour in Southland.
Yeah.
Within the first month of getting this machine. And at this point, when I started out, you keep track of how much you use it per night. Because sure. Some nights you rip it off after an hour, and you're like, can't do it, you know. Yeah. Some nights you wake up without it. Or mornings you wake up without
it. You just tore it off in your...
Yeah, and you don't even know when. But I had two really good days. I won a stage at Southland, and I got most aggressive in stage at Sun Tour. And both days I did that, the night before, I had a really good night of sleep with the machine. So, like, something to this.
Fuck, dude, I didn't know you did that at Sun Tour.
So right away, Dr. Ross is like, well, if you have a good day after a good night with the machine, then I think the altitude thing is
right.
Not a question. But so that was the start of it. And then with Joan, so with Bissell... Felt like I...
Let's go back to CPAP machine. Stay on the CPAP machine for a second. So, like, how long did it take you to get used to...
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's some times now when it's still hard.
Like, if it's, like, super hot in the room or something, I imagine that you don't want, like...
It's more... The biggest issues now is, like, when if you're a little sick or something, stuffy nose.
I've asked you this before. I'll ask you again on mic. Or is it like when you're dating a chick and then you tell her about the CPAP machine? Like, she wants to come over and you're like, look, you're more than welcome to come over, but like, there's this, basically going to be fucking Darth Vader. I'm just saying, like, some nights you just roll over at 2 a.m. and you want to go. I mean, maybe she's into role play. Can you get a Darth Vader one that... Can we modify, like, a custom Vader CPAP machine?
I guess. Find the right girl, like Star Wars. Enough.
I'm going to send Rosalie a text and ask her what her favorite character is. Prince Charming or...
Well, Rosalie and I...
Iron Man.
When we were first dating, like, sometimes I would just want to sleep in my house. And I would just go home and sleep in my house. And I think part of the reason was I didn't want to deal with moving the machine back and forth.
But you already told her about the machine?
I don't think she knew about it for a while.
Yeah.
And I think she said this. She was like, I didn't understand why. And then I was like, oh, it's the machine. Like,
she thought you didn't want to spend the night.
Yeah, or something like that. But I think sometimes it's just like better for me. I don't know. I think something went down like that. Like,
it has to be. Like, if you have any kind of, like...
It definitely isn't the best for, like, cuddling up with your lover, but
yeah. That would be so...
It's not ideal.
I want to, like, not from a place of judgment or anything, I just so want to... Don't do that, it's fucking up the mic. I so want to listen to that conversation of... All right, so look.
You're gonna have to find someone else then, because once that the conversation's over,
somebody who has CPAP, before you tell your chick, record it, send it to me.
Just like the first time
she sees it, and she sees you with the mask on, and she pretends to not like be as curious as she is, where she's just like, okay, and just like trying to catch a glance at the side.
You should just do a podcast with Rosalie and ask her.
It'd be like talk about like the most niche podcast ever. We're doing a cycling podcast. It'd be a podcast that only I would download. Like, well, that one got one download. Maybe Rosalie would download it just out of sympathy too. I mean, maybe you're interested. 3.
Oh, I don't even think I'm gonna listen to mine.
I don't think you should. I don't really listen to them. I can't hear every...
Do you listen to them after you do them? Like, before you put them on?
Only if I know that I have to edit them.
If you have to edit something.
If I know I have to edit
something. Have I said anything I need to edit?
I don't think so. Oh, okay. At least we took out that part about you calling Wahlberg a cock.
Nice.
And that Kendall's an idiot. You're the only cool guy in Oppen.
You don't have to take those things out.
Okay, good. Do you know what Kendo did to me today?
No. Oh, I knew you stole his SRM.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Because he was starting to freak out a bit. Because I got my rain bag stolen, brand new shoes. And
at this race?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Like, so he was starting, he was like, where's my SRM computer?
Well, no, so I took his SRM off, and then I was going to put it in the back pocket of his jersey. And I did the gag where, like, I handed the power control to my mechanic, so then when Kando says, dude, you took it, I could empty out my pockets.
I saw that.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, I don't have it. So then when he turned away from me, I got the power control back. My plan was I was going to come up behind him and drop it in his rear jersey pocket, which worked like a charm, except that he had his iPhone in his rear jersey pocket, so when I dropped it in, it made the clank. But I almost had him, you know? Like, I almost had him, like, thinking he was a fucking crazy person. No, Kando. So we're sitting there, Kando's like, oh, man, there's these volcanoes. We're gonna go to these volcanoes. Or no, pyramids.
Temples. Yeah, pyramids.
Yeah, pyramids. We're gonna go to these pyramids. It's gonna be great. Like, okay, great. I can't. I have to work. Have fun. And then you see him pause, and he goes, hey, are you guys using your team car, like, for anything? This cockfuck asked to use our team car.
I know.
Am I right?
He was trying to figure out if he could find a car.
How fucking Kando is that? You're not saying that. You're just laughing because you know how Kando that is. Like... And I kept saying to him, like, how come you can't use your car? Because I wanted him to answer the question, and he wouldn't answer. He's like, oh, it's great. It's blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how come you can't use your car? And he wouldn't fucking answer.
It's pretty good, though.
It's just Kendo to a fucking T. The fucking guy. I've been telling, you know, like, with the Smart Stop guys, I just tell them, like, you know, the same reason I love them. Often it's the same reason I hate those guys too. Like, they're just a bunch of jokers, you know? And then, like, you love them for that, and there's times where you just, like, put your hands up. You're like, what the fuck? Are you guys serious?
I got no.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with anything you just said. Love the guy.
I love him, but. I mean. I think we said it in the first part, but I might edit out the first part. It's just, you know, it's weird to be on different sides. Like, still,
yeah, totally.
Still in the team car, like, whenever they call Optum for feeding or whatever, like,
yeah.
If I'm in a haze, I'll jump.
Well, even outside of the team thing, I think it's an adjustment. I remember, I had Jonas his first year as a director.
Yeah.
I remember giving him, I mean, I was a lot newer to the sport, but I remember giving him honest feedback. What I thought he could do better.
How is Jonas different then and now?
I don't know. Let me think. I think he learned to be a little bit more. He's not a hard ass, but he learned to be have a little bit more of that.
Sure.
A little bit more like saying no.
Divisiveness.
Yeah, maybe that's a good word for it. And like,
it's hard because like you want to like, you're in the meeting and it's weird to be on the other side now. Because
yeah.
You know how like when you're together as a team, when you're a rider, you guys are discussing like maybe it's a free day or whatever. You're discussing what time you guys want to ride the next day. You're, like you do this committee thing like 9:45, 10. Does that sound good? Yeah, like you do that conversation.
Yeah.
And I find myself as a director doing that in front of the riders.
Yeah.
And then they're looking at me like,
it's
I don't
probably
know.
Probably better for you. Just
yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing. It's definitely better now.
Did he communicate well? Or?
I think it was an adjustment for him to be, another thing is not to like be the guy hanging out with the riders, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. One good thing though, he didn't have any like good friends on that team like he has with this team, with Kando.
Yeah, right.
You know, and stuff. And I feel... So he didn't have that then, but yeah, he's definitely better at being decisive. I mean, I think he's improved every year, even now.
Yeah.
I think he improves. Like, I know he was trying to work things, so this year he worked more on managing our performance, you know, and our training.
Yeah.
As opposed to having to do all that.
You guys brought Walton just, a little bit, huh?
Yeah. Walton's been trying to get in for a while.
Yeah.
He's been my coach forever.
Yeah.
So he came to camp and he's kind of...
Just had some drills or some stuff?
Yeah, basically did a sprint workout.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Some of the guys are like, they're doing sprint workouts. Like the climber guys.
Totally.
They're like, but they realize when we're doing it, they're like, you know, this makes sense. You know, if you're going to win a race, even if it's on a climb, you got to sprint.
Yep.
I think I heard that coming out of Carter's mouth. You know, like, and Bjorn, like, he's like, I think I might do some more of this. You know, like,
yeah.
But he just did that to kind of like see if there's stuff guys can work on.
Yeah.
Also,
is he going to be like a part of official role?
I think he's kind of easing his way, like, it's kind of trying to see how it works. I think it's going to work well. I think he's going to be able to give good feedback to guys. We all sent him our files from our big climbing days. We did, like, certain climbs where we kind of did them knowing he's going to see the effort.
Oh, like, man, it's jammed.
Like, we did Payuma, like,
yeah.
Knowing it was going to be at least a 20-minute effort, and he was going to get to see our 20-minute, you know, power and stuff.
Yeah.
But he coaches three of us on the team officially, like me and Hoff and Eric Young.
Yeah.
He just started with Hoff, but Hoff is really...
How's Hoff? Really,
he's great. He's, he never shuts up, but it's
How's good. Hoff and Friedman together in the same thing? That must be...
Entertaining. Yeah. Especially when one of them... Well, when Friedman cracks. When Friedman needs a Snickers bar. This is our obligatory Friedman joke for the podcast.
Let's see. Yeah, no, we do fuck with Friedman
every,
a lot.
Every person has like one Creed or Friedman joke.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him.
What is Snickers? Like, what do you mean? Like, when
he's all grumpy at the end of a ride. You know those Snickers commercials where like,
yeah,
there's someone else and they get a Snickers bar, they turn back to normal.
Sure.
Friedman's just flipping out and off because he wouldn't shut up or something. It's like, somebody give that guy a Snickers bar. Jesus.
Friedman could be telling me, like, the solution to every problem in the universe. Like, the grand why we're here and the grand design of humanity. I would never believe him. Just because the way he presents things and he screams them and... I would... It's like, you know... Meyerson said something to me the other day. We had help from some guy and he was just... we couldn't tell if he was actually helping or not. Meyerson looked at me and he's like, I can't tell if he's dumb or it's an accent. I feel like...
Do you feel like that would...
Because he had a really, like, southern, like, drawl. And, like, we'd ask him a question and there'd be, like, this unnerving four-second pause before he answered.
Mm-hmm.
That with the accent. So, like... I feel the same way with Friedman, with his voice and his tonality and the way he talks. I'm constantly like, he's just making this up.
Gotta get past that. Maybe he does have some solution.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he fucking has something. I mean, he's been around enough.
Yeah, he has. He's great. Him and Hoff together are entertaining for sure.
Fuck those guys. What do you...
We'll see Hoff.
I'll see him at Redlands.
Yeah. I don't know. He's doing... I assume he's doing Portugal.
You guys travel, man. Optimus cool. You guys do cool shit.
Yeah.
You guys having a tour of California training camp?
They're doing some of that after this. I'm not.
No.
So I'm doing both this and Portugal, but they're doing some recon. There's some guys saving it for Redlands. Some guys doing Portugal and Redlands.
Yeah.
I go home and do bat killing for the
bat killing. Good, man. Is it even a USCF race this year?
I think so. It's a pro one too, I think.
What are your big things this year, man? Like, you've been at it for a long time. Staying motivated's gotta be weird.
Standard motivation for me, time trial national or California time trial nationals, Philly.
Yeah.
All that carries
over. What do you want to do at California? Like, it's just a big
race. It's always nice to try to win a stage, I think, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's possible, you know? Especially the last few
years. What kind of stage would
we try? Well, for me, it would be out of a breakaway.
Yeah.
on Top Finch. Right. I got a half an hour lead. Or like Wahlberg was bragging how he finished second or third on Genting before, but he had a 13-minute lead at the bottom. It still lost to guys. Sure. 15 minutes faster.
Than yeah, but only a couple.
Only two. So yeah, if I got a situation like that. But I think, you know, Dom Roland won a long break in cold weather down the coast one year. You know,
that kind of something situation like that. Yeah.
Is the kind of situation I could win out of. Other than that, I just team ambition in California, you know, like winning one of those sprints. You know, we got.
Guys lost Hansen, but Young seemed to step up pretty good.
Young's improving a lot.
Yeah.
Bringing in Hoff.
Yeah.
You know, bringing in depth.
Yeah.
Help push. I think anytime a team brings in depth, I think teams work well. My whole career in sports, when the bottom guys are pushing the top guys.
Yeah.
When teams are deep, you know, top guys can't really relax.
No,
guys pushing from behind. I think that's a good, healthy situation.
You don't want guys sleepwalking in starts.
Exactly.
I
need that too.
Yeah. I definitely, like, noticed it. I mean, on a smaller level with this team, you know, like, we have 15 riders, we only have one program.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
And, you know, like, a lot of my guys are more or less in the same level. So it's, I mean, it's showing here, like, the guys are riding pretty good here.
Yeah.
Riding decent. And I don't know, I think you have to, if you're the top guy, you have to, even if you think you're the top guy, you have to be kind of wondering, like, a race is coming up, you have to start doing a head count. You're like, well, there's that guy and this guy.
I was already doing that with our team. You
know? Yeah.
When we're climbing and camping, thinking like, oh, crap, man. Who's going to be on the count of race squad? And Jonas told us that, you know.
Yeah.
It's a healthy competition.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have the right combo of guys, no one gets selfish. And Jonas picks people for the right reasons, you know. He doesn't, you don't have to win. He knows.
Yeah.
Who's doing the work and who's not? Who's reliable? Yeah. Who's not? Who's selfish? Who's not? So
definitely the selfish type.
So that makes I'm totally selfish. I'm all about me.
You and your jellyfish spine,
dude.
For those who don't know, I made fun of Swizz once or twice about his. Instability in his lower spine when he rode, because it looked like he moves a lot. You do a little shimmy when you ride, and yet I can never tell if you're going full gas. Like, if I was behind you and didn't know you, I would think you're sprinting sometimes, but then you just keep going faster and faster and faster, and then you drop me. So then ever since then, you've just been like, fuck it. Just, like,
it wasn't from my planking performance.
But how are the planks? Planks getting better?
I don't really work on those. I do other stuff.
Okay.
More like balance, like physio ball balance kind of stuff.
Yeah. Active shit. Huff will get you on all that stuff. Huff's fucking. Huff knows how to do like 2,000 different things with a kettlebell. It's fucking ridiculous.
Never touch the kettlebell.
To tell Huff, he'll get you going. How do you want to end the cycling thing? Dude, what do you want to do after this?
I don't know.
You don't know yet?
Trying coaching. I coach for Walton Endurance.
How many athletes?
I've only been doing two, but I've been teaching combi trainer classes all winter. I think that's helped me.
You're a spin coach?
No, it's a combi trainer class. It's not a spin class. So, like...
Spinish. Do you stand in front of them with a microphone?
No, I do it with them.
Oh.
I get a free workout out of it.
Okay. Lucky you.
I try.
You get a free workout every day, dummy.
I try... I get paid for a workout. No, I stood in the first class I did, and didn't like it, so I've ridden with every other one I've done.
Yeah.
So
you just take them through various intervals.
Yeah, I'm trying coaching to see if I like it to work from.
You may have just said, but I didn't hear you. How many athletes do you have?
Only two now. Only two now. We got a little program going with a Race Across America promotion with. I can't remember the company. One of the pharmaceutical companies. Coach a whole bunch of people for 3 months. They're doing a ride the opposite direction of Ram to help promote it.
Oh,
like each person's riding like 4 days.
Do you have to be a part of that? Are you like?
I'm just coaching a chunk.
Oh,
of
the you're athletes. Not. You're not support wagon or anything.
No. I'm just coaching like a chunk of these athletes.
How do you coach somebody from Ram?
Well, it's not. This isn't real Ram. They're doing like 250 miles in 5 days, something like that.
Dude, I want to be honest with you. You're coaching a farce right now. Who are these?
But anyway, so yeah, he's doing some stuff with some companies that are doing some cycling things with their employees.
Well, I never thought I'd want to be a director. So, did you ever think you'd want to be a coach?
I never did, and I still am not sure.
Right.
I coached a little bit of swimming when I was college swimmer at home in the summer. I just coached a little bit. I never liked it that much, but I don't know. People say I make a good coach, good teacher.
Yeah, I can see that. I
had the experience, but so that's a possibility. I could go back to engineering. Could do something totally different.
How do you explain a 12-year layoff?
I could go work for Kando and his bike tour company.
I mean, I'm already writing a negative Yelp review. I think Kando has really great ideas.
He has lots of ideas. This is one of the few that has stuck for more than a year.
Kando has really good ideas.
I've heard lots and lots of ideas.
Yes. He's an idea man.
He is.
I feel like I'm a little bit of an idea guy, but not as... Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll be running Kando's thing. Yes, hopefully. Tickets, thieves. Alright, before we end this, tomorrow is the final stage of Volta Mexico. I have a sprinter. You guys have a sprinter. How is this last lap going to go? 10? Like, some amount of circuits. 22 circuits. Up and down downtown Mexico City. What's going to happen? Let's do predictions.
I hope it just goes with the riverside.
Yeah, obviously. That goes up.
It stays dry.
It's 50-50.
Hopefully we got 3 out of 10 in the break.
It's going to be a break?
I don't know.
No way.
Circuits don't tend to have breaks and stick.
Especially a hot dog one week.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah. I don't know. We haven't had a review.
Guys, director really needs to get on it.
Well, I think it's going to go with... you think it's going to go with you guys crossing the line first?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you think that?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
If I can breathe enough air, hopefully. I'm looking forward to getting back to sea level after tomorrow. Just try not to look ahead too much.
We'll leave it at that. Thanks, man.
Alright, see you.